the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Hello, my name is Saz Flint. I'm one of the leaders at Belmont Chapel, and it is my great privilege to share with you some of my thoughts on Hebrews chapter 7. Last week, Gemma took us through chapter 6 and helped us think about a greater hope. And she asked us, who are we trusting in for our salvation? Is it Jesus, the anchor of our soul? And this week, we are thinking about a greater priesthood. I want to ask us, do you need a priest? Do I need a priest? Do we need a priest? Because chapters 7, 8 and 9 in Hebrews are all meditations on the theme of Jesus being our priest. So the Bible thinks it's pretty important. And chapter 7 that we're looking at today has the theme of Jesus being a priest in the order of Melchizedek, this strange Old Testament figure. But before we get on to Melchizedek, let's ask ourselves, what is a Hebrew priest? What did it mean? What did they do? We know that Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were steeped in the tradition of the law, and that included the roles and rituals of the priests. But we're not quite so steeped in that tradition, so we might need a little help understanding it. Effectively, the priests were the go-betweens. They mediated between a holy, just, loving God and his ordinary, human, fallible, fallen people. They stood in the gap that existed between God and his people. They brought them together. Maybe we can think about it like this. A month or so ago, I started having pain in my lower back and hip. I have an injury. And then it got much worse after going on holiday and doing a fair bit of hill walking. So what did I do? I went to see a priest. Well, I went to see someone who is a bit like a priest. I went to see Sarah, who some of you know, and Sarah is a physiotherapist. And I say she's like a priest because she's set apart with specialist knowledge and training on how to fix broken bodies. She stands in the gap between my injured body and my body working well and thriving without pain. And she can show me what rituals or exercises I can do to make my body whole again, to fix my injury. And every day I have to set aside time to do 5 exercises to strengthen the muscles around my hip, to restore my body, to make it work properly. And this is what the priests did for Israel. The Israelites were an injured people, a bit like my hip. They didn't live as they were supposed to. They caused pain to themselves and others. They didn't follow God's law faithfully. And the priest helped restore the people to their God, to their full humanity, through rituals and sacrifices. They essentially repaired the injuries caused between a holy, just, loving God and human fallen people who didn't faithfully do what God asked them to do. And also, most Hebrew men and women were not allowed to enter God's holy presence in the tabernacle or the temple. God was just too powerful and holy, but the priests could. The priests stood in the gap between a broken, injured people and a holy, righteous God. So priestly rituals and sacrifices were a central part of the Jewish nation. This was their ancient heritage. And I think this is the point where we have to acknowledge that our culture is very different from the first readers of this letter. The first readers of this letter accepted that humans are all injured in our bodies, in our spirits, in our minds, that we all carry injuries, the things that we do to others and to ourselves that are unhelpful, that are wrong, that are cruel. The Bible calls it sin. We can call it a whole range of things. Injury, brokenness, darkness, weakness, or loss of humanity. The Israelites and the Hebrews who were reading this letter accepted the need for a priest and for rituals and sacrifices that would cleanse them from their sins. Their problem, which we'll look at in a minute, was that they struggled to believe and accept that Jesus is a high priest and that he would end all the rituals and the sacrifices. I think it's different for us. I think that we live in a culture that says everyone is born okay. We don't need to get to a holy, just, loving God, and humanity can fix itself. So talk of priests to the majority of people we work with or live near will have little meaning, or if it does, it may well be negative. And I think one of the big stumbling blocks for our culture in believing the Christian faith is acceptance that we all stand injured before God. Chapter 7 is dealing with the Hebrews stumbling block. It's a gentle but confident and generous explanation of how Jesus is a priest. He's the highest, the best, the only priest that can take them to God. It assumes the people know that they need one. These Hebrew Christians would have thought, how could Jesus take them to God as a priest if he wasn't a Levite, if he hadn't had the training, the ancestry, or the genealogy? Because all priests in Jewish law were ancestors of Levi, just like their most famous priest, Aaron, the brother of Moses. There had never been, up to this point, a Jewish priest that could not point to their family tree and say, I am a Levite, look at my ancestry. But the writer in chapter 7 is saying that the priestly system was imperfect. And it was imperfect for three reasons. Firstly, in verse 20, it came without an oath. It was in the law, but it didn't come with God's oath, which kind of implies that it was never meant to last forever. And then in verse 23, we read that the priesthood wasn't perfect because priests kept dying. They were humans, and death prevented them from continuing in office forever. And then in verse 36, the third reason is that the priests were human themselves. They were fallible. They made mistakes themselves. And they had to offer sacrifices day after day, first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people. So the priestly system was imperfect. And then the writer reminds these readers that there was this mysterious figure that they and we read about in Genesis 14, King Melchizedek. He wasn't a Levite, he wasn't even an Israelite, but he was a priest of God Most High. And he was the king of Salem, which interestingly is the Jerusalem area, and the word Salem means righteousness. He's the king of righteousness. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? And the writer is saying, God owns this world. There was a way to God before the law existed. Melchizedek proves that. Melchizedek predates the law. And it's like the writer is saying, open your eyes. There is something more ancient, more powerful going on than your culture alone. And Jesus is part of that. Don't be bound by your regulation and ancestry, it says in verse 16. Enter something new and wonderful, something, or rather someone, who has an indestructible life, who lasts forever, and who is perfect, unlike the law that made nothing perfect. Jesus is a priest. It's just that he fulfills the law in a different way than they understood it. He is a priest, just like Melchizedek, but not like Aaron and the rest of the Levites. And the writer goes on to explain that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham because Abraham gave him a tenth of everything he had in the story. So Jesus is greater than Abraham. Melchizedek didn't need to be a Levite, so Jesus doesn't need to be a Levite. Jesus is greater than the law and greater than the priests. And Melchizedek, it's like he didn't die. There weren't any death records. He wasn't part of the Israelite nation. So it's like he's still alive. And actually, Jesus is alive. Death couldn't hold him, and he lives forever. And to top it off, We are told that Jesus' priesthood comes from an oath, and we can read about that in Psalm 110. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. So the question is, do we think that we need priests? Do we think that our humanity is injured, not just in our bodies, like my dodgy hip, but in every way, mind, spirit, heart and soul? Is humanity, do you think, injured by sin, brokenness, darkness and failure? I think the writer is saying to us, open your eyes. There is something more ancient, more powerful going on than the Hebrew law and your current culture, and Jesus is part of that. Let's not be bound by our culture, just like these Hebrew Christians were in danger of getting bound in theirs. Let's gently and confidently challenge the belief that humanity can fix itself, that sin doesn't exist. Let's enter something different and wonderful. We do need a perfect priest, just like the Hebrews did. Someone to stand in the gap between us and a holy, just, loving God. So if we do need a priest, what kind of priest do we need? Verse 25 says this, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he lives, always lives to intercede for them. Now that's the kind of priest I need. Not a weak, fallible human that will die one day, but the Son of God and the son of a woman, the man who understands us, but is not hindered by the injuries that humans, all humans, including the human priests, find themselves in. A priest who is so all in his commitment to us, so loving that he became the sacrifice. So now anyone can come directly to God through Jesus. We don't have to go through someone else. We don't have to have a particular ancestry or gender or skin colour. We don't have to carry out elaborate rituals and sacrifice. All we do is fall at the feet of Jesus and ask him to teach us how to live. That's the kind of priest I need. That's the kind of priest I think we all need. I don't believe humans can fix themselves. I think the evidence stands against that. Despite some amazing individual acts of love and heroism and grace that we sometimes see in others, I think that there are injuries and injustices and darknesses that only a holy, loving God can fix. And I think that all of us need to be brought to our full humanity by somehow getting to that God, by being in the presence of that holy, loving God, and that there is an expert go-between, the perfect physio, if you like, Jesus, who is continually healing us, continually interceding for us, praying for us, standing in the gap for us forever. Verse 25 says, Jesus is able to save completely and meet our need forever. That's the assurance in our Christian faith. Jesus's priesthood is perfect. That's the wonder. That's the beauty. It's so much better than the law. Jesus doesn't abuse, doesn't exploit, doesn't bruise. He is righteous and full of peace. Human priests are fallible. They were in the Jewish nation and have been throughout the history of the Christian church. But Jesus is not. Verse 26 says, such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. We all carry injuries, don't we? We all carry sins, darknesses. We all have weaknesses that are far deeper than any current aches we have in our body. We all have besetting sins, whether it's pride or selfishness or a desire to dominate or a desire to hide, to undermine, to be cruel, to have comfort at others' expense. But Jesus is able to save us from these things completely and meet our need forever. He is our perfect and much needed high priest, a way to a holy, just and loving God. He stands in the gap and he lifts our humanity to the heights that God intended. So I'm going to stop there and leave us with two questions. Firstly, what kind of priest do I need? And secondly, can Jesus meet my need and save me completely? What kind of priest do you need right now? And can Jesus meet your need and save you completely?